Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to give you a brief update on what's coming here in Kenya. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we've been busy at the children's home. We're making concrete posts out there, and we've got other projects doing a lot of planting. We have about 3 acres of crops out there, and so we're doing a lot of planting. Maize, groundnuts, beans, vegetables, all kinds of vegetables, cucumbers, and green vegetables, kale. And so we have a good supply of food coming in for the children. We also have a great church going out there. Last week we had just about all the chairs filled, about 80 adults in the church. And so we're very happy about that. There may be some day when we need to expand that church. And so we're looking forward to that day. Also, we're planning to build a school out there at Makunda, right next to the children's home. We've recently purchased an acre of land, sits right next to the children's home, and we are looking to buy another acre right beside that where we can have 2 acres together to build a school. And so if you'd like to be a part of that project, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. And this is a message that I've preached before, not only on the radio, but sometimes I preach it in crusade. Great message. It's such a encouraging and strengthening message for those who are sincere about their walk with the Lord. It will give you great encouragement. And for those of you who are not sincere, maybe you have struggled in your walk with the Lord. Maybe you've struggled even just to understand the gospel and the mysteries of the gospel. You will have a better understanding after you listen to the parable of the sower. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. And I'm going to be starting in verse 3. And Jesus is here, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." And verse 7, "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so we praise God for that. If you want to read in your own Bible the interpretation of this parable, then you can go starting in verse 18 of this same chapter, Matthew 13, 18, and you can read along with me as I give the interpretation of this parable. Well, first of all, I want to address the issue of the parables. Why did Jesus speak in parables? He spoke in parables because most of the people that he was teaching, most of the people that he was talking to, they were simple country people, not highly educated in formal settings. And so he spoke to them in parables, which are simple stories that gave an illustration of a situation in life, or gave an illustration of the kingdom of heaven. And the simple story had a very easy to discern point at the end, a very easy to interpret point. And so people could get the point and understand what Jesus was trying to teach them. And so many times in crusades, I preach from the parables of Jesus, because most of the people that come to crusades are people without formal jobs. Many of them don't have formal education. Here in Kenya and other Africa countries, many people drop out of school at grade 6 or grade 7 or 8. And so it's very, very common to have a highly uneducated population of people listening to the messages at the crusades. And so it's important to speak to them and to give them a message that they can understand in very clear, concise, and simple terms. And so that's why Jesus also spoke in the parables. And he said in 11, he said to the disciples, because it has been given to you, disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, the villagers, the peasants, but to them it has not been given. And so Jesus spent time with the disciples. He educated them and educated them in the ways of the kingdom. And so the messages that Jesus gave to the disciples were deeper in revelation, deeper in understanding of the kingdom of heaven. But that was not so for the villagers, for the people that he just encountered in the mass crowds and in the mass places. And so to them, he gave the parables so that they could easily understand what he was trying to say. Well, the parable of the sower talks about a man goes out to sow, and this is Jesus Christ or any man now who is sowing the Word of God. The Word of God is a seed, and it is attempted to be planted in the hearts of man. And God says, when my word goes out, it shall not return to me void, and it shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And so the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it wants to find a home in the hearts of the people, the hearts and the minds of the people who receive it. And so there's four different types of soil spoken about in the parable of the sower, four different types of soil, and those four different types are mentioned there in the scripture that we just read. The first one is along the wayside. It actually doesn't even reach into the soil. The second is the stony places where there's a lot of rocks in the soil. The third is the thorny ground where the soil is pretty good, but it's growing lots of thorns and thistles and brambles. And then the fourth is the good soil, the fertile soil that produces a good crop and produces a 160 and 30-fold return on the seed. And of course, you know, if you're a farmer out there or if you plant a garden, you know that when you have good soil, good black soil, and it has a lot of fertility in it, a lot of compost, or it is a good deep soil with no rocks, no washouts, no sand, then that soil, that fertile loamy soil, is the soil that produces your best crop. And so that's what Jesus is saying. And so we're going to take a look at each one of these types of soil and see why some return a crop and why others fail. And so that is the point of the message here today. Well, the first type of soil is the seed falls beside the wayside, so it actually doesn't even get into the good soil. It doesn't even get into the field. The seed is scattered along the road, and you know, along the road you have a lot of gravel, you have a lot of sand, you have a lot of rocks. And so in verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Beloved, anytime you're trying to do anything in the kingdom of God, anytime you're trying to move forward in your understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the devil is going to come against you, and he's going to try to snatch that understanding of the word out of your heart. And so many people, they get frustrated, they pick up their Bible, they read a few chapters, and unfortunately they get frustrated, they quit, they don't have any understanding of it. The devil has snatched that understanding out of your heart. And so they get frustrated and they leave the kingdom and they don't come back. And so this is a problem. And the reason why Jesus spoke in parables again was to keep it simple. And so my messages here on the radio, I try to keep them simple. I'm not going to spend a lot of time delving into the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel, although those are extremely important. But for most of the people out there, the simple stories of the Bible, the simple revelations of the kingdom are the most important. And Jesus wants to bring people to a place of understanding of the basic, simple concepts of the kingdom of God so that they can make a decision regarding their salvation. Well, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God for it, and God will give it to him liberally without reproach, and let him ask in faith without doubting. And so if you're one of those, when you try to pick up the Bible, you don't understand what you're reading, and you don't know what you've read after you read it, I suggest you ask the Lord for wisdom. Get down on your knees and pray for wisdom. Say, Lord, I need wisdom in understanding your word. And then I would also suggest you start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the New Testament, the book of Acts and Romans are also fairly easy to comprehend. In the Old Testament, Psalms, Genesis, and some of those books are very easy to comprehend. But when you get into Numbers and Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and some of those, you will tend to get bogged down. But just ask the Lord to give you wisdom and give you revelation, and then be obedient to the parts of the Bible that you understand. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so it's important to keep the commandments, the ones that you understand. Keep them and show your love to Jesus by being obedient to what you understand. And then he will give you more revelation. He will give you more anointing. He will give you more authority. And so that then comes with understanding as you go. And then the second type of soil that we have is the stony soil. And in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy is the stony places, yet he has no root in himself. And so he endures it for only a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Beloved, the devil has a plan for your life just like God does. And the devil's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. Again, as I said, when you're trying to do anything for the kingdom, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face tribulation. It might come from very unexpected sources, maybe even people in your family, maybe even a best friend, maybe even somebody in the church. And those people will rise up against you when you're trying to move forward in the kingdom and be obedient to the Lord's call on your life. You may find yourself suffering all kinds of persecution. Just get signed up for an encounter program, an encounter weekend, encountering God. Get signed up for that and you'll see the spiritual warfare barometer go up increasingly as you get closer to the weekend. And so when you're moving in the kingdom of God and you're moving forward to the obedience of the call of Jesus Christ on your life, expect persecution, expect tribulation, and don't be shocked from where it comes from. And so this is the stony soil. Many people back out. Many people fade away when they start to suffer that persecution, or they don't want to be separated from their best friends. They don't want to be separated from their mommy or daddy or somebody in their family. And so they back away. They quit going to church if they ever started. They quit reading their Bible. They just don't want that type of conflict in their life, and they're not willing to stand strong as the tribulation and the persecution arise in their life. Well, Matthew 5:11 said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. This is the words of Jesus. And say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And in John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus said, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. and if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So Jesus said, they persecuted me, they hated me without a cause, and they're going to persecute you, they're going to hate you, and so blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So beloved, when you receive persecution, and I could write a few books on that. I've received plenty in my day. It's just part of the territory. But what I tell you today is when you persevere through that tribulation and that persecution, then you're going to move forward into the kingdom toward that hundredfold blessing. Well, the third type of soil is the thorny soil or the thorny places. And this is spoken about in verse 22, Matthew 13. He who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Well, beloved, you're going to always have the cares of the world hammering on you if you're alive and breathing in this world. The cares of the world are always going to be breathing down your neck, you might say. You're going to have economic struggles, you're going to have family struggles, you're going to have work struggles. There's all kinds of problems out there in the world, but if you let the world problems take over your walk with the Lord, then you're in that thorny soil and you will never produce any fruit. You have to be able to keep your eyes focused on Jesus, even if you're in ministry. You have to be able to keep your eyes focused on Jesus and not let the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches take your eyes off of the Lord. And the deceitfulness of riches is such that some people can never find time to pray. They just don't have time. They go blasting out of the house at 6:30 in the morning, first daylight, and they work till 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and they do that for 20 or 30 years until they're exhausted. And then at that point, their body starts to break down because they've been working 7 days a week, and they've not given their body or their mind any time to rest. And so they start to break down, have all kinds of health problems. And so this is a typical scenario for many people in the United States, not just in the U.S., but people in Kenya work that way also. Many boater riders out at the crack of dawn, they work till 9 o'clock at night and trying to make that extra shilling. And beloved, let me tell you that the deceitfulness of riches will take you away from the kingdom. Jesus said, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, that is the eye in the wall of the city. And so it is a difficult thing to say no to an ever-increasing pressure to make more money, accumulate more things, more boats, more cars, more second homes, more vacation time. All of these things become a great pressure that draw people away from the kingdom, draw them away from their kingdom walk. And let me tell you, if money and making money is your God, you will never have enough. Enough will never be enough. You need to learn to be content with what you have. I'm not speaking against hard work. I'm not speaking against saving or being thrifty. I'm not speaking against wisdom in finances and wisdom in investing. What I'm speaking against is making money your God and idolatry of money. If that is you, you will never have enough. You will never be satisfied with what you have. And so at some point you have to determine that you're not going to let the deceitfulness of riches take you away from your kingdom walk and your destiny in the Lord. Well, Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you need money. Missionaries need money. When I go to get a plane ticket, they don't say, well, you get it free because you're a missionary. No, I need money. I need money to pay my electric bill here in Kenya, money to buy food, but money is not my God. I don't work on Sunday. That is the Lord's day, and I haven't for 25 years. And so you have to make a determination in your life that money is not going to control you. Yes, you need it. You need it, but it isn't going to be an idol and take the place of God in your life. Well, verse 31, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When you seek the Lord and put him first in your life and make him the priority of your time, of your resources, of your prayer, of your calling and your destiny, when you make him the priority and not the pursuit of money, then God says all these things that you need, all these other things that are important and necessary to you, they will be added unto you, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so now we come to the last soil, which is the fertile soil, the good ground, that good Kansas soil, 3 feet deep, that black soil, or like Iowa, if you've ever been to Iowa, you know the maize, the corn there grows 10, 11 feet tall, and the soil is good black soil, and it is very fertile to grow just about any kind of crop, soybeans, maize, all that grows in a fabulous way up there. And so the good soil, the fertile soil, is he who hears the word and understands it, and who bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Well, beloved, the bearing of good fruit, that 100-fold, that 60, that 30, manifold blessing, that manifold understanding, it doesn't come overnight. You have to persevere, you have to persevere, you have to read God's word, make it a discipline in your life to study God's word, make it a discipline in your life to pray every day, have a prayer time in your secret place, have a corporate prayer time with people in the fellowship, make it a point in your life to go to church every Sunday and get your family involved in church activities. Get your family involved in taking your children to youth activities, youth camps, mission trips, short-term mission trips. All of that produces the 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing on your life. But it doesn't come overnight. It's something that develops over time. But when you have that understanding of how the kingdom works, and you have that understanding of how important Jesus is to you and how important God's plan for your life is, when you have an understanding of that, then it starts to grow, and it's like leaven in a bushel basket of flour. The leaven takes over that whole basket of flour. And so the kingdom of God is increasing day by day in your life, and not only day by day in your own life, but also the kingdom of God is increasing throughout the world, in every corner of the world, every nation of the world. And so that is the kingdom of God. And when you understand that and you keep pushing forward, you keep pursuing, and you stay obedient to the Lord for his call on your life, then you will have that 100-fold, that 60, and that 30-fold blessing. Well, as we look at these four types of soil, only one out of the four actually produced any fruit. And so you have a 25% return right there on the sower, on the sowing of the word. You have a 25% return. And the 100-fold blessing, that highest blessing, that highest return, is a third of the 25%. So you're actually talking about 8% of the people who hear the word and produce some kind of 100-fold blessing, produce that highest blessing, is 8% of the people who originally heard the word. And that's the reason why Jesus said the narrow way is the way to the kingdom, the narrow way is the way to salvation, but the broad way is the way to destruction. Beloved, don't follow the broad way. That's the way most of the people go. They look up and down the street, see what everybody else is doing, and they just follow after them like sheep being led to a slaughter. But the narrow way is the way into heaven. The narrow way is the narrow gate that opens up to eternal life with Christ Jesus. Well, I'm going to close here in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, who will not receive a hundredfold in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." So, beloved, there is the hundredfold blessing when you are willing to give up the things that are very important to you, people that are very important to you, very dear to you, and very close to you, when you are willing to give them up and say, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say." And when you do that, beloved, you will be in line to receive that hundredfold blessing. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. And we praise the Lord for those of you out there who have been with us for many years. And we invite you to partner with this ministry for the great projects we have going in Africa and for the great projects we have going in the U.S. with the radio broadcast and other things. And so we invite you to partner with us. Sit down, write us out a letter, let us know you're listening, write out a check of support, or you can do it on the internet through PayPal, paypal.me/gatherTheOutcasts. And let us know that you want to support this ministry, support the projects in Africa, and you will be blessed, we will be blessed, and the kingdom will move forward. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.